So our next speaker here is a student here at Calvary Christian. She's starting her master's. She just completed her undergrad. Sydney Crowder, and she's going to speak to us about women in STEM.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. My name is Sydney Crowder, and I'm a graduate student here at CC or Colorado Christian University. I'm really excited to present this because I am a Christian female in STEM, so this kind of has a lot of weight to me. And so, just a little background about what even started this. Last semester, I had an independent study with my engineering professor, and we kind of were talking about how Christian women in STEM have different experiences just as a whole, and then when you add the layer of actually being a Christian, it adds even more complexity. And so we kind of came with two critical observations. And so the first one is that there is an underrepresentation of Christian women in STEM, and then also there's a unique context of Christian institutions within traditional gender roles. And so this presentation basically is just going to take us through research that's already out there and then my own qualitative study of what the five interviews that I did kind of resulted with. And then, yeah, I'm just kind of showing the findings related to the barriers they faced, the strategies they used to overcome them, and then how their faith really helped them get through STEM and all of their classes. So, first off, we have women experience STEM differently. So, there's a broader context where across the country, women experience STEM differently, and it's particularly with the gender imbalance. So, a lot of classes, there's more males than there are females in the classes, and that can just lead to a sense of being different and being visibly unequal in the classes themselves. And so these feelings can have a significant impact on the academic performance and then just like lasting in the STEM careers themselves. So then, yeah, that's kind of that one. So then we have gender stereotypes, which that kind of goes into just women's experience in STEM can have a net with the gender imbalance and this gender stereotypes of women in STEM kind of being a more something rather. I'm really struggling right now. Butler's study basically showed that there's a negative impact on self-confidence and motivation within female STEM. And so, interestingly, Butler also found that there can be direct support. So when professors are direct support and like really focus in on, oh, you're a woman in STEM, go you, that can actually backfire and have a negative impact where the women in STEM are like, wow, you're pointing me out, I feel different, and now you're making it an even bigger deal than it already was. And so the study kind of showed that indirect support or more just like, yeah, cool, you're in STEM, nice job, like continue doing what you're doing, like not making it as big of a deal can actually be more effective. And so then we have the Christian context, which this is kind of interesting because there's faith-based perspectives on equity and justice within STEM anyway. And so faith-based universities provide a unique setting for women in STEM anyways, because while campuses can offer a nurturing and motivational Christian setting, it also can, some women can struggle with the messages about traditional womanhood and still like going out and being in the technical and the STEM related fields. And so there's kind of a bit of difference in that just because it is kind of a different field for women to want to be in. And so now we go into kind of mentorship and support. So like through all of this, you can see how there is like a need for mentorship and support, and institutional support is really critical for retention, because if, as I said, if women don't feel supported or feel too like, oh, I'm out in the open, this is ridiculous, it can kind of scare them away or get them off the want to be in a STEM track. And so mentorship and support is just really important for increasing the belonging and sense of wanting to be there, and then also the confidence in these classes themselves. So now we're going to move on to my research objectives. So basically my hypothesis was that Christian female students in predominantly male STEM environments face unique challenges, and they navigate those challenges through faith, mentorship, and then personal strategies that they kind of create themselves. And so basically, really, the research focus was just like, what are the lived experiences of these Christian female STEM students? So, kind of breaking it down, my methodology was a qualitative study using semi-structured interviews that were one-on-one. I had five Christian STEM undergraduate females, and it was 20 to 40 minute interviews. So the questions kind of focused on experiences, the challenges, and then the faith and mentorship aspect. And then here are just some of my sample interview questions. So the first one was just, you know, describe your experience as a female in the predominantly male classes. This was a really big one for me. I just wanted to, like, what was your experience? Because this is stuff you're not going to see in the syllabus of, oh, this is what the women felt. This is a lot more deep and more personal. And then it was kind of got into, like, challenges or benefits that they have faced with the gender balance, because who knows, maybe women find it more empowering that they are with a bunch of men and they have to prove themselves, or maybe it's more overbearing and just scary to be in a group of really confident guys. And so then going into the faith aspect of how do you see your faith impacting and intersecting with your future in STEM? And then have you had any mentors or role models? That was a very big one. So then participants themselves, it was actually five Christian female engineering students. They were all engineering students. I had one freshman, one sophomore, and then three seniors. While it was a very small study, I wanted to get at least somewhat of a broad scope. That's why I chose the freshman, because a freshman is coming into college for the first time and just like, oh my gosh, overwhelmed. Where seniors have already gone through the rigor, they already know what they're doing, and now they're trying to figure out what the heck they're doing with the rest of their life. So I kind of wanted a broad-ish range of participants. So this is kind of our results. This was the results that we came up with. So first off, the challenges in predominantly male STEM classes, some of the barriers were initial feelings of being out of place. Like I said, they walk into a classroom and they're one of only, or maybe even the only female in the class. That is an immediate, you're different, who are you, what are you doing here? So that was kind of an initial feeling of being out of place was something that most of the participants brought up. They also said that they were typically overlooked in group or class activities just because they were more quiet or more reserved. They didn't feel like they could be so outspoken. They couldn't feel like they could speak louder. And then just kind of also like outnumbered and lowered confidence and participation. They were outnumbered. It's kind of hard to talk in a group where everybody is loud and proud and like, let's talk. And then even they said that the males are more confident in their classes just talking out of turn and not raising their hand, where the women were like, I feel like I should raise my hand. I don't know what to do here. And so some of the strategies that some of the participants said, that one of them said that she decided that she was going to go and she was going to speak up in class every single time, whether she wanted to or not, whether she had an idea of what she was saying. She was like, I'm just going to practice confidence and I'm going to just try to speak up however I can. And I was like, okay, cool. And then also forming closer bonds with females for other support. So just kind of like really going and like focusing in and really closing those bonds with and having close female support really helps them a lot, having like the camaraderie with other females. And then, like I said, kind of just developing the assertiveness of I'm going to talk in this class whether I want to or not. I am going to interrupt. I'm going to present myself in a way that I am here. So then we have stereotypes and expectations. Many of the women said that they felt like they were pressured to be perfect and avoid mistakes. They said that they felt like they had to compensate for being one of the only females by having to present themselves as perfect and having to avoid mistakes at all cost. They also said that the male peers perceived to be more confident even when they weren't necessarily more prepared. They were just more willing to say what they wanted to say. And so that was one that all of my participants mentioned, actually. And so, yeah. And then also they said that they felt like they had to have higher maturity and attentiveness. And while they didn't necessarily, it was never necessarily expected or verbally said, they just felt like they needed to present themselves more mature or more attentive to detail. And so then some of the strategies that they did to overcome these barriers were, once again, the peer support and the female bonding of really honing in on their female friendships in the classes, really focusing, really encouraging each other. They also said that they worked on their leadership and resilience. And so this is kind of, this one was interesting to me because I was like, what are you talking about, leadership in a classroom? What are you getting at here? And so basically they were saying how they really tried to present themselves in a way of, I'm going to be a leader in this class. I'm going to present myself. I'm going to give myself opportunities to lead a group discussion. I'm going to volunteer and say, yes, I want to present this little side group project that we've been working on in class. I'm going to present this in time instead of one of my guy partners. And so, yeah, that was very interesting. And then also, like, selecting the supportive teammates where, yes, most of the time, if they could, they would select the female students. But they also said that they would select supportive male teammates if they could, if they felt like, yeah, like, I feel like he really encourages me. I feel like there's no weirdness. I feel like I can talk to him and I can be supported in this thing. So those were kind of their strategies for the stereotypes and expectations. And then we have faith and mentorship. This one was fascinating. So basically they said that one of the most prominent challenges was the tension between their identity in women in STEM and also the traditional gender roles emphasized in the Christian community. And so while their faith is 100% super important to them, some participants noted that they weren't really fully encouraged to pursue the rigorous technical careers. And so that was really interesting. And so the women that I also interviewed said that they felt like, hold on one second here. There we go. Okay. They said that was a really big struggle and they had a lot of tension between them of what do I do here? I feel like engineering is my calling. I feel like STEM's a calling to me, but is this going to take away from my Christian identity as a woman and in the traditional gender roles? And so that was a very big, interesting thing. Another one was the desire for more female role models. Christian women in STEM who could model what it looks like to succeed both in the professional, the academic, and just as a Christian woman. That was something that a lot of the participants said that they just wanted somebody who could share in their beliefs and their career path and just some sort of direction. And then, yeah, so that's kind of, that was their barriers with the faith and mentorship aspect. And so the strategies is a big one. All of them announced prayers. That was their big one. They were like, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Can I do this well? They said that in moments of stress, whether it was a group project or an exam or just wrestling with self-doubt, they really turned to prayer as a focus of, this is what I need to be, God, like, help me out here. And so prayer wasn't just a habit, it was a lifeline for most of them. It also reminded them of their worth and helped them recenter their perspective and reduce the pressure to perform perfectly. And so it also focused their and clarified their sense of calling. So it showed STEM as a way to serve instead of just a career. And it showed them that they could innovate ethically and with a Christian aspect and a Christian mindset instead of just, I'm just here to make money. So, yeah. And so then finally, for those who were fortunate enough to have some sort of mentor, whether professor, a church attendee, or just an older peer, that support did make a significant difference. And mentorship basically provided them with practical advice and emotional encouragement. So, discussions and limitations. So this study kind of already reinforced what we already knew and what the research already showed from a broader STEM perspective. It's basically that being a woman in a predominantly male environment presents real consistent challenges. The challenges do become more complex when you add a Christian aspect to it. And so, yeah, they really showed that. I won't lie, there were some very big limitations with this study. First off, it was one university. It was 5 engineering students, and it was one semester. So there was very little I had to go off of, but it definitely opened the door and showed what could be done with this study and really you could go a lot of different ways with this. Yeah, so with that, future research. Yeah, so there's so much more to learn. Future research needs to take a broader, deeper approach. First off, we need to do larger, diverse samples, including graduate faculty and other STEM majors. For example, physics and biology, and even computer science, where it's even a bigger of a gender imbalance. I was one of I was the only one that graduated in my computer information systems. I was the only female. So this study is like, yeah, we should be talking to a lot more samples in this realm. And then also following them through and seeing how different levels and different aspects of life, so like the graduate students, how are you guys doing this? Faculty, different aspects of life. And also potentially long-term, we could do following the student throughout a few years of life instead of just 1 year, that was it, one moment of time, this was what you thought. Instead, following them through several years, through several years could really show us how their experiences shift and whether institutional or personal changes really lead to greater retention or if they decide to do a career path, a switch, stuff like that. It could also help us examine important questions like work-life balance, family planning, and then career trajectory within the faith-based context. And then also the other one is comparative male and female experience studies. We have no idea if men even recognize that there are a, like, that women feel these things, or do we even know that they understand? Do we even know if men even see it? Do we know if men even recognize it? Do they just think everything's fine and dandy and they have no idea that the women are sitting there being like, I feel outnumbered? So that kind of thing of like really compare it to get a full picture of the entire equation. And then evaluation of support programs and policies. That's a really big one of which mentoring systems are working. Are there any anyways? That's a really big one. So then finally, implications and key takeaways. To wrap up, I kind of want to return to the heart of this research, the lived experiences of Christian females in STEM. These students weren't struggling. They're not struggling through their education. They're just learning how to lead, how to stand up, how to stay grounded in their faith while pursuing rigorous academic goals. The challenges they face are real. There are gender stereotypes. There are lack of female role models. There are unspoken expectations, and there are limited support structures. But through prayer, resilience, and a power of mentorship, they are actively making a difference, and they are actively participating in their environments. And basically, this research just underscores that we have three key takeaways. Mentorship matters. Even if institutions just started as simple as pairing seniors with freshmen that are in the same career path of this person who is a senior actually has some idea of what you're talking about. So that's kind of the big one. And then also, spiritual grounding does make a difference. Faith helps students navigate uncertainty, discouragement, and then pressure. It really provides identity, meaning, and clarity when things get tough. And then finally, support systems are essential. Female students thrive when they feel part of a larger network, whether among peers, professionals, or church members. And then there's a real opportunity here for faith-based colleges and universities to lead by basically affirming the women's calling in STEM, and in Christian institutions can help ensure that female students don't just survive these environments, but they also truly thrive in them. And yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Cindy, thank you so much. Your work is going to help me in my teaching.
Okay.
You have some things to think about. I'm really curious about, you have this early slide which mentioned the perceived conflict between science and faith as one barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if high school students, and in particular female high school students, perceive this conflict, and that may be a reason to go into something different than STEM. Yeah. And I wonder if there's a difference between engineering and physics and biology, because maybe engineering is a little less conflict,
mm-hmm.
whereas biology and physics maybe more. What's your thoughts on that? You only had engineering students,
yeah.
so maybe you know, but you have friends that maybe are biology.
Yeah, so the main reason I chose engineering is because, at least at this school, there was only, I was one of the three engineering girls, and I was the only computer girl in my class. Whereas the biology students, there were predominantly girls. And so that one, it didn't feel like it was going to, like, my whole goal was to choose the ones that were like, yeah. And so that was kind of why I stuck with the engineering ones, is because there was a group, the senior class was 12 people and only four of them were girls.
Do you think that the perceived conflict between science and faith is a barrier?
I do. I also was talking to this lady earlier today, and she and I'm really glad she's not here so I don't mess up where she's from, but she was telling me about how, like, that's one of her big topics is how a lot of times religious is the reason that girls don't do it, because religion is a lot more focused on girls. Like, girls really value that. And a lot of Christian women really value that. And so immediately being like, wow, this is not going to be conducive to me having being Christian and being in STEM and that type of thing was really interesting. It was really interesting to learn about. Yeah.
I know it was a small sample size, but I'm curious, in any of the interview conversations, and it may not apply depending on limited role models, was there any discussion of whether there's a difference between if the instructor, professor, employer is female versus male in terms of the student's perception of walking in as an underrepresented member in the classroom?
Yes. Both of our engineering professors here are male, and I love, they do really well at this, and all of the participants were like, yeah, we do really value they do really well at this, of really showing that, yeah, it doesn't matter that I'm a girl, like, I'm here, but they all said that, like, yeah, it would have been really nice to have somebody who's already walked my path and already sees the struggles I have, and I think that, yeah.
I do have to comment because I am a computer scientist with an engineering, and I am at a university, and I am a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That you're at a Christian university. I'm at a secular university. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's also in having that personal relationship important for the student even to broach the topic of religion, because at a secular university we often are told you gotta walk those steps very carefully. In terms of having fellow female, even as an undergraduate, studying with other female students, I think that is huge. Mm-hmm. That was huge for me. That's been huge as a student and in my career. Mm-hmm. So 100% agree with that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Me, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. So first off, I have a motto that I live by now as a grad student I'm about to defend. I go about everything. Sorry, guys. I approach everything as a woman, approach it as what a mediocre white man would do. So if I think that my male counterpart can do it, and him and I are the same, and he thinks that he is the most amazing thing, I too think I am the most amazing thing. And let me tell you, it has worked.
It has worked, okay.
And I learned it recently, and it worked. So I think every female student needs to just, like, get that confidence. Mm-hmm. But also, what would you do if there was a female professor who doesn't believe in this barrier between men and women? Because as a woman in my field in STEM, I'm a microbiologist at a very large public university. I have met female professors who don't believe that there is disparity between men and women in science. So how would you approach that?
That's a good one. I think it's hard because this was kind of eye-opening to me because I'm the only girl in my classes. I really never noticed it. I was like, okay, cool. Like, this is great. But this kind of opened my eyes of, like, yeah, like, the more I was talking about it, the more I was realizing it, the more I was researching it, I was like, I can see that there is a difference. And then it kind of even opened my eyes of, like, yeah, I do realize that in class I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk because I don't feel like I can just.
Oh, there's a difference.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I think that, I feel like just the research, just like, taking a moment and actually, like, looking at it instead of just being like, yeah, no, there's no difference. Like, yeah, cool. I think that's my big one. Yes.
So sort of bouncing off what y'all were talking about, I am guessing that these women that you interviewed probably were pretty confident and pretty good leaders among other women. Mm-hmm. At least some of them probably, because you talked a lot about being confident and being a leader in class. And I think that often, if you have more males, that the woman doesn't want to speak up. Mm-hmm. And often that goes back to stereotypes about a woman who speaks up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just sort of wondering how do we as a community address those stereotypes from a Christian perspective or like as a teacher to say that a woman who is confident and speaks up is okay?
That's a really good question.
I know you don't have all the answers.
No, yeah.
I mean, just to kind of think about that, so I teach here, and I've actually had students. And for me, at least personally, I tend to like be thankful when I have like a female student in the classroom who is more forthright and engaged and answering questions. It's typically playing into the stereotypes we're joking about. They tend to be also more mature and have a greater degree of like buy into what I'm talking about. And I'm always thankful to have them in the class because it just changes the nature of the in-class discussions about things too. So there can be other sides to, I guess, viewing it. But
I have a real personal anecdote. Multiple times when I've been out speaking at churches or Christian conferences, I've had women come up and say, oh, it's so good to see a woman speaking so confidently and so well. I'm so glad you're doing this, which is a great compliment. But also because they have not seen this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to underestimate the Christian culture to that women should be quiet.
Yeah, I don't have a question. Thanks for your paper. I found it very interesting. But I wanted to give a bit of historical perspective, if I could. One of these older white guys who has been in higher education as a student to a faculty member for closer to 60 years than zero. And when I was an undergraduate at Drexel as a physics major, there were zero faculty members in the department who were women. Zero. There were probably 30 faculty members. Chemistry had zero regular tenure line female professors. Computer science had one. And biology, I don't know. I didn't take any biology at Drexel. At Messiah, when I came in 1985, there were zero tenure line female biology professors. There were zero tenure line chemistry professors. We did not yet have a separate engineering department. And there were no physicists except the dean. So today, at one point in my time at Messiah, 4 out of 6 chemistry faculty members were women, including Roseanne Sachs in the back row, who was the department chair. And biology hired how many? 4 or 5 women? How many do we now have?
Four.
Four tenure line.
Once my next guy retires.
Yeah.
You're looking for a woman, you know.
Yeah, I was in those conversations longer than my colleagues here, and I'll just tell you without meaning who they were and all that. There were specific conversations that took place among science faculty about the need to have women in the department, and the primary reason we saw as a legitimate justification was mentoring. We felt that we had to have some female people in the department for mentoring our students because a lot of them were women. Mm-hmm. And so in the biology department, it's way over half, right? Exactly. Way over half in biology. Maybe half in chemistry, Roseanne, right? Yeah.
So it is encouraging how it has changed.
Yeah, it's changed dramatically. Absolutely dramatically.
Okay, one more question for our speaker. Question for me. So I'm a professor here in physics. But I do teach engineering. You mentioned direct support that you backfire. And this company chose indirect support and mentorship. Can you give some examples of what indirect support would look like for a woman in my classroom?
It was more just encouragement without being specifically, oh, you're the only woman, good job. Like more focused on indirect, like you did good, keep it up, more indirect.
So Sydney, on top of that, things like checking in, like how are you doing, how was your semester, that sort of thing, is that too direct or is that still not positive?
I think it's not too direct. I think that the broad aspect was just not only women. Like if you're only going to every single woman being like, how are you doing? And like none of the guys get asked, it's kind of like, oh, I'm being called out specifically.
So would another way to describe that be like overt versus behind the scenes?
Yeah.
So last question. If This is a selfish question, but I think it'll help others as well. If there's one thing we can do, because we're limited in resources, right? What's the one thing we should do?
I think mentorship in some sort of aspect, whether it is the seniors to freshmen or connecting it with a different, even just a different female professor that's still in the STEM world, I think that would help a lot.